to call one another to worship. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. We'll share them responsibly. And I'll start, and then you go. I'm the not bold, and I'm the bold. I will bless you, Lord my God. You fill the world with awe. You dress yourself in light, in rich, majestic light. I can go for a long time. spirit of prayer. And consider the words that we just sang, knowing that soon we will indeed offer out love and hearts and hands to the people who are seated around us. To offer the Christ light to one another, though, requires first that we recognize the Christ light inside us, or in our midst. I invite you to take a moment then to seek and to find the Christ light. Within you and all around. I love candles. I love lighting candles. These little flickering lights that illumine an entire room, and yet they shimmer and shake and they blow around. You think that they can do nothing, but they can illumine so much. These little fragile candle lights. The Christ light which you bear has more strength than maybe sometimes we remember or recognize. We can hold our Christ light out for one another. There's a gospel hymn that says, shine, shine, shine your light. But there may be somebody down in the valley trying to find their way home. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. To open our hearts, to allow the Christ light to shine through us. I invite us to offer our prayers, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our worries, our very selves. And then encourage and share with one another. Are there joys or concerns that you would share?
Straight ahead, and there was concrete, and I had to go to the hospital, and I got a sprained ankle, and I need prayer.
Prayers for Muriel, her sprained ankle.
Let's pray for refugees who are fleeing from fear and intolerable living conditions.
She had a scan, and it did not do anything to her cancer. It was more or less another node of cancer on top of the old one. So she will have some more chemo, but pray for Susan, please.
I just wanted to mention that Muriel will be leaving us sometime in November, and we have something from her, for her, from the church, and hopefully we'll see you a few more Sundays, but just to be sure that you have that too.
Prayers for Dan Smith. He's a former member of Ulster Park Church. He's in St. Luke's in hospice and likes visitors.
I ask for prayers for my daughter, and I just have a joy. She's reached a decision, so she has resolved her angst, and I thank you all for your prayers.
Nancy, what's your daughter's name?
Erica. She'll be starting teaching at the College of St. Scholastica in January. So.
you stand up, Mary, for Mary and Merle, who's out of the home right now, right? Rehabbing, and for Marcia and Michelle.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. I invite you to consider and share the words that are printed in our bulletin. And then engage in some silence. We can share together saying, "Oh God, you are our way, our truth, our light. Shape us in your image, fill us with your power, and teach us what to do. Beloved, God loves you. You are a beloved child of God. God loves you and knows you. And together we are family. We are all children of God. And in this confidence and in this hope, we pray. We pray as Jesus taught us. We pray together to our common parent, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
Thank you.
Done the little chicken dance? I don't know why I didn't think about it. they all got to figure out who's the top chicken, and they pick each other until the top chicken wins, and they win because they peck the most. And you know what that means? They just hurt other chickens the most, and that's how they get to be in charge. And it's interesting, and also it hurts super bad. And sometimes that's why they cut the little beaks off chickens when they're all, I know, so it's kind of hurtful too, but I guess we all gotta do our thing. But I've been thinking a lot about chickens because, yeah, they look like little dinosaurs and they don't fly, and they kind of sometimes remind me of people. When you see them, the little cockshows that they all put on and the chicken walk, we've all seen people walking their little chicken walk. Yeah. But here's what I've decided about us and about chickens. We may have some similarities, but we are not chickens. We are Christians. Maybe you want to say that. We're not chickens. We're Christians. You little raise a little fist in the air. We're Christians. And you know what that means? We don't peck. We don't hurt one another. And that's how we know who is the one on top. The one that we think is really, really on top, Jesus, is on top because he loved the most. And he healed everybody. He didn't hurt. And he even loved those who pecked because he just knew that they were scared. And so we love chickens because we're not chickens. We're Christians. And we love chickens. And they're cute. But you did. That sounds pretty dramatic. Yeah. And so you know how it feels. So we know that we don't do that to one another. We love one another. How do we share and show that we love one another? We be nice and kind. And sometimes we share eggs. Somebody gave me some eggs. It's nice. It's kind. He's not a chicken. He's a Christian. I could put my eggs in my chicken purse. Carry my chicken eggs all around, and it would help me remember to not peck, but to love, and to be kind, to share, to give gifts, to hang out with one another. There's nothing in it. It's just an empty bag. You feel something in there? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It's just my junk that I didn't clean out of my purse. It's chapstick, yes. And now we're going to end the children's lesson. We're not chickens, we're Christians. Will you join me in prayer? Will you join me in prayer? Thank you, God, for loving us, for sharing with us, giving us hearts and soft noses so that we don't peck one another. May it be so. Amen. Yes, it's a pen, a chapstick, and Kleenex. That's what's in my purse. Yes. I am blushing, and I am sorry that I didn't clean out my purse. Okay. Thanks, Caitlin. Thanks, Lori. You're all heading out to kids' class.
James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to him. "Teacher, we have something we want you to do for us." "What is it?" "I'll see what I can do." "Arrange it," they said, "so that we will be awarded the highest places of honor in your glory. One of us at your right, the other at your left." Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup I drink, of being baptized in the baptism I'm about to be plunged into? Sure, they said. Why not? Jesus said, come to think of it, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized in my baptism. But as to awarding places of honor, that's not my business. There are other arrangements for that. When the other 10 heard of this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Jesus got them together to settle things down. You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said. And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It is not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage.
Going into churches, or sometimes Christian bookshops, I sometimes feel the same to me, or any kind of shop or world outside. We might think that Jesus brings one message. But I think Jesus brings lots of messages to us. And speaks to us individually where we are. For example, for people in places of privilege, at the center of things, those on easy street, Jesus says, woe to you who are rich, for you have already received comfort. Jesus calls out whitewashed tombs and says, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor. In other places, he speaks even more strongly, and I think that we have edited the words of Jesus. On the other hand, to people who are on the margins, to women, to children, to those who are sick, those who are living with mental illness, those who are dying. He speaks words of comfort. Blessed are you, you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. What do you want me to do for you? He calls them children. And to the woman accused of adultery, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. Now that I think about it, perhaps it is a singular message. A singular message expressed in multiple ways. Jesus said, I came to so that you might have life and have life abundantly. And each of us who are different in different places, that might mean something different. His message, Jesus' message to the powerful and the privileged, is warning and challenge. Jesus' message to the powerless and those on the margins is blessing and encouragement. Jesus models for us and speaks into being for us the gospel cycle. Recognizing that each of us has power, but we have it in different measures. That we are all equal, but we are not the same. And our experiences are not identical. Jesus speaks to us in different ways, so that we might have life and have it abundantly. But it will manifest, life will manifest in our lives, the life of Christ will manifest itself in different ways. The gospel cycle is a movement. And sometimes I think we get stuck in the gospel cycle. The gospel cycle is really the movement of power in our lives, the movement of God's power in our lives. We have all been gifted from the beginning with the Spirit, the power of Christ. And we get stuck, some of us, in powerlessness or in empowerment, power that we wield with privilege. Each of us can then move around the gospel cycle through power, empowerment, and giving up our power. Jesus calls us to experience the movement of power in our lives. Jesus empowers us with his healing and his teaching, sharing bread and wine through baptism. And we follow him through his life, gaining power, endurance, holding on to the things that give life. And two, like Jesus, we move through life to the cross, to death, to powerlessness, giving up our power so that other people might be empowered. The empty tomb is resurrection, where Jesus shines in all of his glory. But he doesn't stay there. He moves. He continues to move through the gospel cycle of life and death and life again, receiving power and laying it down, and then taking it up again when it is needed. Each one of us is called. Each one of us is empowered with gifts and graces, with teaching and resources. And we can then lay all of these gifts and resources down so that others might take and step into our place of empowerment. We could lay down our gifts and offer them as resources for others. There is a time to speak and to advocate, and there is a time to be silent and to step aside. There is a time to choose the cross, and there is a time to step into the light. There is a time to lay down and to let go, and there is a time to step up and to advocate. We are called to give our gifts away, to live lives like Jesus, who gave everything away, so that other people might know and be set free. How do we know where we are in this gospel cycle? I gently, lovingly invite you to consider that if you have a home, if you have food, if you have technology, resources, a car, if you are white, then you are in a position of power and privilege. If you do not have resources or a home or live in have housing insecurity, if you don't know where your next meal is going to come from,
if you live with a disability, if you are sick or in prison, if you're a child, if you are a woman, if you are gay, if you do not have white skin, you are in a position not as powerful. I invite us then to consider how we might move around this gospel cycle of power. Where are you in the gospel cycle of power? Are you in a position of privilege? Of power? How might you lay your power down so that people who do not have the privilege or the resources might step into their power given to them from birth by God? We are called to serve one another through each other's, to wish each other well, to feed one another, to visit, to cook one another, to care for one another, to help each other, to clean up, to make messes, to make space, to ask and inquire, to make friends, to listen, to learn, to love one another. I invite you to consider where you are in the gospel cycle of power. Is it time for you to take up your cross and to lay your power down? Or is it time for you to put your cross down and take up the resurrection power of Jesus? I have lots of ideas about how privileged, powerful people might lay their power down, including things like giving away money, leaving your comfort zone, putting yourself in a position where you aren't the most powerful person in the room, learning about injustice, volunteering, cleaning the bathrooms, setting up chairs, cooking food, surrendering your need to be right. And if you are feeling disempowered, I invite you to take a moment to breathe deeply into the Spirit of Christ which is within you and all around you. To know that God has gifted you, each one of us, an equal measure of power. And as the gospel songwriters wrote, shine, shine, shine your light. Shine your little light because someone down in the valley might be lost and need to find their way home. I invite us to consider the gospel cycle in our lives. I invite us to give and receive, to lay down and to pick up, to love one another. May it be so.
Thank you.
invite you to put into practice the gospel cycle in our lives. I invite you to literally put down your money, to let it go, and to watch it bear much fruit away from your control. I invite you to continue in the spirit of Jesus. I invite you to give and receive and give and receive. I invite us to give and receive our more help.
Do you ever restore the light in my life?
Give it away. Go in peace, love, and serve God. Amen.